Oh no, we can't do our mission because we're out of milk. Guess we'd better get some at this new planet. Hey, we just need to get some milk.
We don't like Mandalorians, but we'll give you some milk if you kill the warlord monster bandit that's been using our Wi-Fi. Okay, well, here's your milk. Wait a second.
Oh no, Baby Yoda drank all the milk.
You guys ready to talk about Star Wars? Star Wars episode today. We're talking about Star Wars. We're going to dive deep into some Star Wars dorkiness for this episode. I feel like it's appropriate. There's been a lot going on in the Star Wars world lately. So we got a packed show for you in terms of Star Wars. And some of you may know I'm a bit of a Star Wars dork. I'm not a huge geek, but I do like Star Wars a lot, so I thought maybe I'd do an episode on it. There were some big announcements this week made in the Star Wars world, so I thought, hey, let's dive into that a little bit. Let's talk about it, because it's something I'm interested in. And if you're not into Star Wars, maybe stick along for the ride. Maybe this episode's not for you, but maybe you'll learn something, and maybe you'll start to like Star Wars from this video. It's an interesting thing, and I kind of want to dive into it and figure out, you know, why people are so interested in it. Why are dorks like me interested? Why do we like this cute little Baby Yoda thing? Why do people like me buy lightsabers? Like the Darth Vader one that's on display in my apartment. I had some technical difficulties before the show, so I'm a little frustrated right now. This is with working the kinks out. I'm using new stuff, and I'm going to keep bringing it up. I'm going to keep using technology as a crutch as to why the show is performing badly or why I'm not doing well or whatever. But God, I was having sound issues, and then my camera fell over, and then the lights didn't work, and geez Louise, Matt, get your life together, you know? Writer in here. And we have a special guest today. We'll get into that a little later. I figured we should just dive right in. What the heck is up with Star Wars? And I think a lot of people grew up with Star Wars. A lot of people are fans of it. It's obviously one of the biggest film franchises of all time. Why is that? Why is Star Wars such a good trilogy? Why is it such a good, series? Why do people like it so much? And I have some theories as to why. I have some theories as to why people like Star Wars, why people like me like Star Wars. So we're just going to get right into it. I think there's like three or four major things that are the main reasonings for Star Wars being so popular. And my number one theory as to why is it's a nostalgic type of thing. So most people, when they watch Star Wars, they were kids, right? When you're a kid, what do you want more than anything else? You want to be a big kid. You want to watch big kid movies. You want to watch PG-13 movies. You want to watch the same movies your dad is watching and your older cousin and uncles and stuff. And you want to be cool.
When you're a kid, what's the one thing you want more than anything?
Power.
No. To not be seen as a baby.
This might be more for guys than it is for girls, but it's one of the first like big kid quote unquote movies you see when you're a kid. And it makes you feel cool, right? And it's a good story. It's a kid's movie. Let's be real. It's a kid's movie. It's not really adults liked it at the time when it came out. And that's another reason I think it was big. That's probably reason number two, which is it created this whole massive world of wonder and awe and all this shit. And all these possibilities, and it was doing something that a lot of films hadn't done at the time in the 70s, which is why some adults got into it. But I'd say most people saw it as kids. So it's a nostalgic thing. I think that's reason number one. You watch it as a kid, and then you get older and you watch it again. You have these warm, fuzzy feelings. It's like it's a movie you watch with your dad or your mom or your brothers or, you know, your cousins or your best friends or whatever. And it opened up this world for you. For all kids, you're super imaginative, right? You love reading fiction books and you love watching movies and cartoons, and it builds this world for you to kind of get lost inside of. And it's a kid's movie. Sorry, it's dorky to be involved. I'll admit, hey, I'm a fucking dork, and I'm hand up in the air. I like Star Wars. I like the movies. It's fun. I played the video games growing up. Still sometimes do. And I think that's probably reason number one why people like it so much. It's a nostalgic thing.
And you can watch them at Christmas with your family. You can watch them with your girlfriend. You can watch them with your boyfriend. You can do whatever you want. And they're easy watches. It's an easy story. Reason number two, it's the story. So it's a space western, essentially. And so it's very formulaic. It's very familiar to us. It's easy to digest. It's a hero's journey. This kid, right? It's like every other western movie you've seen. He grows up on a desert, right? On a ranch, essentially. Goes to a cantina, a saloon. There's bounty hunters. There's a bad boy, lonesome guy, Han Solo, whatever. There's a princess and damsel in distress. There's guns, right? There's shootouts. There's face-offs, whatever the fuck. What do they call them? Mexican standoffs? What do they call them? With the duels and stuff kind of thing. There's laser swords. And it's a Western movie, and not a lot of people know that. Or not a lot of people think about it like that, if you're not a total Star Wars geek. But it's interesting to watch it through that lens. And that's very familiar to us. Little boys love cowboys and Indians type of thing, right? And it's easy to digest. And I probably said that. I probably repeated myself a lot of times. Sorry, I'm flustered. I'm flustered because I had a rough start to this thing because I couldn't get the sound to work. But a very stressful episode for me. Hopefully I'm off to a good start. I don't know. I'm kind of scatterbrained at the moment. But yeah. Familiarity, you know, good story. Creative. It's super creative. And this leads me to point number three or whatever point I'm on. Sound effects go into that. I think the sound effects are a big reason why Star Wars has been so successful. You listen to the sound effects in this, they're awesome and they're memorable, right? When you're a kid, you hear the... That's cool. It's badass. You got this dark, evil guy, one of the best villains of all time, Darth Vader, right? And you have the lightsabers. They're unique. They're flashy and interesting and fresh. It's creative. And that's one thing that, so like my girlfriend and I, we're she's never seen him before, so I'm watching the movies with her. Because of course I'm doing that. Because of course I am, because I'm a dork. I'm a dork. And so I'm showing her the movies, and one of the first things she said was, I can't believe how creative these movies are. Right, these wonderful worlds and stuff like that. Horrible British accent. Sorry. That's how she talks. Beth, listening to me this way. All right, how are you doing? But you like them, right, Beth? You like the movies? They're kind of interesting. I know I'm kind of forcing them down your throat. But they're fun to watch. She mainly got involved through this little guy, Baby Yoda. Grogu is his name. Sorry, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Mandalorian, but that's that little guy's name is Grogu. She thought he was also, he's so cute and cuddly. He has a nice furry head. I like him. And then I was like, all right, well, let's watch the movies. I can bring you into the Star Wars world. Easy to watch. There's like a good Sunday movie to watch. And it's a compelling story, and the sound effects are cool. And it's creative. Those all those things go together. The creativity behind it. Takes a lot of effort to come up with a creative story like that that's told in a good way. Space Western, out in outer space, a galaxy far, far away with laser swords and evil Sith lords. And it's kind of religious, too, now that I think about it. You know, the Jedi are like priests, and the Sith are like demons, like devils, right? It has a whole nother element, a religious element on top of all this, which keeps it interesting. And I'm a fan of that. And that's why I own this Darth Vader thingy. That's why I own that. I also really like Lord of the Rings, but that's probably a whole nother podcast. And for those of you who haven't seen Star Wars yet, let's just go through a brief thing. And it's about this guy, Luke, in the desert. He wants to get off this desert, this stupid rock. He wants to be a star pilot in the galaxy. And these droids come down. And the droid has plans for this battle station that was hidden away. This is going to be a horrible explanation and synopsis of the movie. You probably should just go watch the movies rather than listen to the synopsis because I'm going to do a really bad job. But I'm going to keep going with it because I'm already invested in telling the story, so I got to finish it. But then the droids come down. They have the evil plans. So the bad guys are trying to find the plans for that battle station hidden in this droid. They don't want anyone else getting the secret plan. They happen to come into Luke's path. Start rock. And he leaves with the droids, and when he comes back, he finds the bad guys had were looking for it at his aunt and uncle's house. Killed them. They burned them to death. A little macabre, all right? Maybe it's not the most family-friendly movie. There are skeletons in the movie. I think about it. Scarring when you're a kid watching that. Just fast-forward it if you want to show your kids. It's like a three-second clip. And then a guy gets his arm cut off later. But anyways, this is the worst telling of the story ever. Just read the synopsis. Just read the synopsis. On your own time. And essentially, he finds out that his parents are, or his aunt and uncle are dead. And so he goes off on this journey with this old man, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And that's what it's about. It's a hero's journey. It's a boy becoming a man, exploring the galaxy, you know? And it's interesting. And it's well told. And I know there's a lot of people who aren't fans of it, but this goes back to my point number one, which is you have to watch it as a kid, in my opinion. In order to like it that much, you have to have seen it as a kid. In my experience, and tell me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm wrong, but I've never met an adult, like, let's say over the age of 22, 20, whatever, who's seen it and been like, oh, I really loved that. It was amazing. They're all like, not for me. It's just kind of stupid. I didn't really like it. That's fine. That's why my main theory is why it's so popular is you have to see it as a kid. It's a nostalgic type of thing. Go through it. You know, watch the world grow as you grow up. It's been around for so long, you've seen it go. You've grown up with it. I mean, we had Star Wars figures back in the early 90s. I have a whole thing of Star Wars figures back at home that I played with, which is crazy because the last Star Wars movie came out in, what, the 80s? And they were still selling action figures all throughout the 90s before Episode 1 came out in 1999. That's how popular it was. They were still selling toys. We had every toy. We had every character. Even the background characters were selling toys for. We had them. It's very marketable. I forget where I was going with all this. Sorry, this episode's kind of a mess. Point number three, I guess. Point number one, kids. Two, familiarity, whatever. Three, sound effects are big. And four, and here's a main point as to one of the main reasons why I think this movie is so big. This probably should have been number two. But I think it's big because of the music. Now, obviously, Matt, obviously music is great. Obviously, soundtracks play an important role. But do you really realize how important of a role soundtracks play in movies? I mean, think about it. Think about some of the best movies you've seen. The soundtrack adds so much to it. It makes everything emotional. I can put inspirational music over something and immediately, even if I'm not saying something inspirational, I could just say, you got to wake up in the morning every day and you got to put your best effort forward on a daily basis. You wake up, you get shit done. When you want to succeed as badly as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. Right? You put inspirational music over that. It sounds so much better. It sounds bad. If you take the music out of that, it doesn't sound as good. If you say something inspirational, you put music over it, it's going to make it that much more impactful. Because music is very powerful. Newsflash. Hey, Matt. Newsflash of the century, guys. Music's powerful. But, like, think about some of the best movie soundtracks the most recognizable ones, right? Indiana Jones, Star Wars, Pirates of the Caribbean, Lord of the Rings, right? All these movies have recognizable themes. There's a lot that goes behind it. I could do a whole episode on this too. I'm fascinated with film composers, Hans Zimmer and Howard Shore, John Williams, obviously, a couple other smaller ones, but it adds a lot of emotion. And I remember being a kid. You guys all probably remember being a kid hearing dun 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 dun. It's iconic. And that adds so much more to the depth of the characters and to the emotion behind it. You relate to them. It draws, helps you recall these things more. So when you hear it, you think of the story more. So grow up with all that as a cumulative snowball effect. I mean, think about this one. This is one of the most famous ones. Binary Sunset from Star Wars A New Hope. I love this one. Isn't that good? Isn't that so dope? John Williams crushed it, and that adds so much more to the movie. Imagine if it was a bad soundtrack when Luke's going up, looking out in the binary sunset. It's just some stupid bullshit. I mean, you'll recognize anything from this movie. All these themes, all these, even the Cantina Band, right? This one. I mean, it's a jam, dude. And like, listen to how weird that sounds. It sounds like it's from an alien planet. They put good thought behind that. Which, side note, John Williams stole pretty much, borrowed ideas from someone else named Gustav Holst. He wrote a suite called The Planets. And if you listen to that, this is interesting. It sounds, you can skip around to anywhere in the whole suite of the, you know, the piece that he wrote, and he named a different section after each one of the planets, and just like listen to these and tell me it doesn't sound exactly. Like, dude, that's Star Wars. Like. Doesn't that sound like... Like, just skip around anywhere. He just took this. I think that was the reference, because they use reference... what do they call it? I don't remember what the... There's a technical name for it. They put music under the movie before it's completed, and then the composer has to score it based on what the reference track is, essentially, is what it is. It's probably what it was this. Probably just stole it, which is fine. I mean, you gotta borrow, you know? What do they say? Good artists borrow, great artists steal. Essentially what John Williams did. But I think this is cool. I mean, this is literally Star Wars. The instruments are all the exact same. I mean, that's just... I mean, it's great. This is 10 hours of John Williams. But yeah, I mean, listen to that and tell me it doesn't sound just... Well... I mean, that's not the exact same thing we just heard. It's good. So it's all these components that come together to make Star Wars so interesting, so unique. And those are the four biggest reasons why. Obviously there's other things. I mean, there's good storytelling. I mean, personally, we're gonna get into dorkdom here. Let's talk about movies to watch. If you haven't seen Star Wars, first of all, pack your bags, move to the mark you're living under. But if you were going to this episode, you know nothing about Star Wars. I probably explained it horribly. But secondly, go watch them. Just go watch them. Give them a shot. It's easy watching. They're not bad. They're not like the best movies in the world. They're good. I mean, it's more of like the story behind it. When filling in the blanks, they build in this entire galaxy, right? And there's comic books about it and legends, and I don't really get into that side of it. I just like, you know, surface level type of shit, and I know probably more than your average person knows about Star Wars. Let's start with The Mandalorian. Watch this cute little guy, right? This cute little baby Yoda. And then watch the original trilogy. New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and then go watch the prequels, 1, 2, and 3. And I know people are going to be like, hey, there's a better watching order, blah, blah, blah. No, shut up. Watch them the way they were made, okay? So you get the same experience as everyone else. New Hope, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, then watch Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith is personally my favorite. It's a bit dark. That's okay. That's what we call it. It's a bit dark, frankly. Boy, can I do that impression anymore after Trump is gone? Probably, right? Probably. Frankly, it's good movies. I don't really like the character Princess Leia, but good movie. What do we call it? A good movie. I'm going to have to start doing a Joe Biden impression now, I guess. My impressions suck. Sorry. But yeah. And then if you want to watch the Clone Wars, look, it's a cartoon. It's on Disney Plus. It's good. It adds to the, if you guys have already seen all the Star Wars movies and you're like, Matt, we know Star Wars is dope. We like it. Watch the Clone Wars if you haven't watched it. Good. Good watching. Some stupid episodes in there. The first season you can probably skip. But it adds a lot more to the story. It's a good story. Like, if you got into Game of Thrones and stuff, you'd probably get into Star Wars. You know, if you got into Lord of the Rings, you got into Harry Potter's, you probably like Star Wars. But give it a shot. That's all I'm saying. And hopefully you like it. Hopefully I did, this episode wasn't too much of a mess. But we have some time left. So, special guest today, we're having someone else on the show we haven't had on before. My sister. I got a lot of siblings. We're going to get them, all of them on the show at some point. My brothers have both been on twice now, I think. You guys seem to like those, but I have my sister on now. She's the one directly below me in the running order of siblings. She's a bigger Star Wars dork than I am, I think. She's a very talented artist. She does a lot of Star Wars commissions and stuff for other people. But we had a conversation about this, to talk about it, and it was interesting and fun, and I wanted to have her on for the Star Wars episode because it's a fun thing to talk about. So we're going to go long episode today. So it's a little treat for you guys, a little treat. We're going to talk about Star Wars a little bit. But that's that. Hopefully you enjoy this conversation I had with my sister. Hopefully it's a good conversation. What's up? How's it going? Melissa.
Hi. it's good. I actually was drawing Mando just before we actually got on. And then,
really?
Well, I was sketching. And none of the sketches were looking good. And so I was getting a little bit frustrated, but I went downstairs, got a snack, came back
up.
You
gotta take a break
this?
Once in a while. You can't be just grinding all day. You gotta like step away from it for a couple minutes.
I know.
What'd you think of
That's
the episode?
That's part of the reason why I'm doing this.
What'd you think of the episode last night?
I loved it. I think it was maybe probably in like the top three episodes for me.
Really?
I think it was one of my favorite ones. Yeah.
Better than last week?
let me rephrase this really quick. I loved all of like the episodes that just came, like the Ahsoka one, the Boba Fett one, but this one, there was something about like the quiet character moments that I really liked.
Mm.
Like, I like that they gave Din like development.
Oh,
I
wait,
like that
well,
he
first,
took off the helmet.
Before we go, spoilers if you haven't watched the episode yet, to anyone who, but
sorry,
first of all, go watch the episode, but yeah, just spoilers ahead. So if anyone's, you know, if you haven't seen the newest, what's it, episode 5 or 6? What is it? 7?
15?
Oh, but I mean in the season. What episode? Season 2 episode?
It's chapter 15. But
chapter 15
like,
of Mandalorian. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're starting off with right now because we have to, because it's fresh in our minds. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was good. I'm going to watch it again. I watched it kind of late last night, so I was like kind of tired or whatever, but I thought it was good. We didn't get to see my son at all. We didn't get to see him at all. So
okay.
I'm a little disappointed in that, but I thought it was good. It was action packed and it was very Star Wars-y. So I thought it was good.
Well, I gotta be honest. I did not love Bill Burr's character in the first season.
In the first season,
like,
I didn't like him either. He was much better in this season.
That one scene where he and Mando are sitting at the table and then that sleazy Imperial guy is just like, you know, we killed them and it was good. And he's like, it's not good for them. He got so intense there. I was like, this dude is seething. He's so mad.
Yeah.
Like I was impressed with his acting much more in this episode.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's a good indicator of, and you and I have talked about this before, but like how much better the show's just gotten from season 1 to season 2, because you can tell they're like comfortable with the characters now and they can kind of take more freedoms and more liberties and stuff. So I thought it was like a much better development of that character. But I think this whole season's been amazing. I think it's actually kind of, and you and I have talked about this too, but it's actually kind of saving Star Wars in a way, because as you and I are both not fans of the sequel movies, and I think any Star Wars fan really isn't. I wouldn't consider myself like a total Star Wars geek. I don't know everything about everything, but I know more than like your average person, I think.
Right. You're not like,
yeah. Which brings me to like the whole crux of what this episode is about of this particular show, which is like, why is it so popular? Like, I don't get why. I do get it. I mean, I have theories as to why, and I talked about it before you came on a little bit, but like, what do you think are the reasons why Star Wars is so good? Why do you think the sequels were received so poorly? Like, what's your opinion on just in general, like an overall viewpoint?
Don't lay down the big question on me and just be like, what do you think, Melissa?
Well, I know, but I mean, everyone has like, I have my theories as to why I think it's good. I think three of the biggest reasons are it's a kid's movie disguised as a big kid movie. So like kids see it when they're young, right? And they think they're cool. And you see it at that age, it kind of inspires a sense of like awe and wonderment. And like you're like, oh, the galaxy's so big, that could exist out there somewhere. There's lightsabers, there's fighting. And then also I think music's a big part of it. Like the sound effects are a big part of it. It's all super unique and well thought out. And I think most people see it at a young age and it kind of just sticks with you. It's a nostalgia thing. So that's my theory. Mm-hmm. But like, what do you think is the reasoning why Star Wars has become so big?
Okay, so somebody actually told me this a few weeks ago. They said that Star Wars is just a space fairy tale. And yeah. I never thought of it that way because a lot of people are just quick to go, oh, that's sci-fi. But when I personally think sci-fi, I think Star Trek.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I feel like you just get sucked into that world and then you can't pull yourself away from it. I think a big part of it is like the characters. Like the characters are so well-defined. Like you have Obi-Wan, you have Luke, you have Han, you have Leia. All vastly different, but you want to follow their stories like super closely and follow their hero's journey. So I think the hero's journey has a really big part to do with that. I think the nostalgia of passing it down is a big part of why it's so popular. Because if you think about it, like dad was raised on these movies. Like he went to go see them in theaters. Yeah. He was part of the first group that came out. It's like, Luke, I am your father. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen that.
Yeah.
All of that stuff getting passed down, I think, like, and then when the prequels came out, it's like, oh, I get to show my kids like where it all began. And then like the prequel kids are now adults having kids and they're showing their kids. And so I really think a big part of it is the generational thing. And then to get a little cheesy here, I think Star Wars is about family.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really big part of the appeal, is like different groups of characters doing the found family trope, coming together, fighting good versus evil. It's just like they have clear themes, clear characters with clear motives, and people are drawn to that. They want to be able to pass it down.
Yeah, and it's well written too. I think that's a good point. Like the fact it's passed down, like I saw it when I was a kid because dad showed it to me when I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8, and he'd put it on a Saturday morning. Yeah. It's an easy movie to watch. The first movie is like, I like A New Hope a lot, but it's easy watching. It's not like violent, except for the one scene where the guy's arm gets cut off in the cantina or whatever.
No, it's so, but it's also
a Western movie. Like if you're a little boy, like watching that, you feel so cool. You're like, oh, like this is a big kid movie and I'm watching, you know, this iconic, you know, these iconic scenes with iconic characters and stuff. And it is a family thing, and it's interesting too, because I know people who don't like it or who have never seen it. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with it. They're like, oh, I watched it like for the first time last year and I don't like it. I'm like, yeah, well, you're 30 years old and you're watching it. Like, it's not going to be as good. Like, to me, I like watching it because it reminds me of being a kid. And like, I grew up watching those movies. I grew up playing with Adam, one of my best friends when I was a kid. And like, we'd play Star Wars Battlefront and we just talk about like the possibilities behind what goes on here. I mean, we still do. We're still dorks about it and we're still talking like you and I talk about it. And it's one of the dorkiest things about me. I mean, you see my baby Yoda behind me. I have my lightsaber. And it's fun to talk about it. And it's like fun to like theorize. And like the galaxies, like that world that they built is so creative and so well done that it leaves a lot of room for like interpretation and stuff. And like the mega, mega Star Wars geeks who are at like fan fiction and like are into like the Star Wars legend and all that stuff. And they know everything about every character and all the planets and all that shit. Like that's what I think gets people so much into these things. And it's the same with any like big, a fiction type of book, like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or something, but this world's just been built up so big. And it's a well-told story from the beginning. It's like an interesting story with interesting planets and creativity, and like I said, the music goes into it, the sound effects, the characters, the types of aliens, like it's very complex. And I think it just, that's what really draws people in initially.
Yeah. I don't think it's one particular thing that it comes down to where you're like, oh, this reason is the only reason that Star Wars is popular. I think, like you said, like the lore is a really big part of it, because instead of doing like good guys and bad guys, you have the Sith and then you have the Jedi.
Yeah.
And then in between you have these different cultures. You have Mandalorian culture, you know, like you're getting into these different realms of the galaxy and they make it seem so huge. And then with all the theories, you're like, oh, this character knew this character 20 years ago. And it's making like the connective tissue. And I think that really has a big part of its popularity.
For sure. And that's it all stems from that, like, you know, the Luke, I'm your father thing where it's like, oh, it's a good guy that turned bad. And like that that's interesting to people. Like the bad guys won for a period of time. And I think that's, it's a very compelling storytelling and it's well done. And that's why this this new show, The Mandalorian, that's why all these other shows that they just announced are like big news, because it's going to help fill in more and more of these gaps and it's going to help build out the world. And you know, I think they missed with the new sequel movies. Like, to me, those are bad, but like these new ones they have coming out, I'm pretty excited. And you and I kind of talked about this, but like, what are your, for those of you who don't know, if you're not Star Wars dorks, Disney just announced how many new shows, 10 new Star Wars things.
Oh God. Yeah. Like 10. It was a lot.
So they introduced a lot. And one of them's going to be about Ahsoka, who's in the two episodes ago in Mandalorian, like the first Jedi you see in that show. And then one of them's going to be about the big fat chick who is a stormtrooper. what's the, it's like the New Republic Rangers or something.
Rangers of the New Republic, which I gotta be honest, gave me mad Buzz Lightyear vibes.
I know. Space Rangers, I know. Well, which ones are you most excited for and why?
Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and the Bad Batch.
Oh, right, the Bad Batch. That's like a sequel to Clone Wars, essentially.
Yeah, it's essentially Clone Wars Season 8, if we're gonna be honest here. Obi-Wan, obviously, because I feel like everybody knows that the gap between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope is just so open for so many stories. And the fact that they haven't touched it until this point is kind of surprising, because I think there was a petition to make it like right when the Disney acquisition started. And so everybody's just been plugging for this for years and years. But I'm mostly excited because Obi-Wan's my favorite character.
Oh, for sure. He's so badass.
And Ewan McGregor, in my opinion, was like the best part of the sequel trilogy. Not the sequel trilogy.
The prequel
trilogy.
Yeah. Which, by the way, those get a bad rap. He was so good in that. He did such a good job like coming into the character that Alec Guinness kind of like.
Oh, it was like created. If there was no transition.
Yeah. And he was like kind of a Star Wars dork too. Also, Liam Neeson's one of the best characters in the show or in the whole series. Like, Qui-Gon Jinn's fucking amazing.
Yeah, he's insane.
And Darth Maul is like one of the coolest bad guys. So those got a bad rap, I think. And like, they are corny and cheesy, but at least they're original and stuff. And I think you're creative. Right. Like, Ewan McGregor is such a perfect role for this, which is why I think that show is going to be like, amazing.
I think so. That's my number one. I am so psyched about Hayden Christensen coming back. I think that is the best move that they could have made. And I think it's going to pull a lot of people in, and they've hinted at a duel between Obi-Wan and Vader again. Yeah. So I'm like super hyped about that.
Probably on the Death Star, because remember, Vader says to Obi-Wan when they're there, he's like, you shouldn't have come back. When he's fighting him in A New Hope.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, see, because when I read that initial news, I was really confused, because I was like, okay, from where they have it right now, it makes sense. You know, like Obi-Wan leaves Anakin to die on Mustafar and then they meet up. But then I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't know how they can make this work, but that makes total sense.
Yeah, he says you should not have come back.
Yeah, you should. Oh my God, that is so cool.
I know.
That's awesome. Now I'm super psyched. That'll be great.
It's going to be dope.
And then the second one is Ahsoka, obviously. I'm a huge Clone Wars buff. I'm a little nervous.
So let's talk about Ahsoka a little bit, because if I don't know how many of these people have seen Star Wars and know about Ahsoka. Because I didn't know about Ahsoka until Clone Wars, which you suggested that I watch. And I'm glad I did. I mean, it goes back to what we were just talking about. It helps fill in a lot of these gaps. And it makes the prequels so much better. And I still like the prequels. Revenge of the Sith is probably my favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
but it fills in the gaps between 2 and 3. It makes the characters so much cooler. And Ahsoka is like a main part of that. So if you haven't seen Clone Wars, I know it's a cartoon, for all you people who haven't seen it, but it's dope. And it's like the character development's awesome. The storytelling's really good. Some of the episodes you can skip. I was telling Mike, because Mike started watching it the other day. I was like, if you're watching an episode, you don't like it, just move on to the next one. Like, you can just quit. And like, that's how easy of like a watchable show it is. You can just kind of like the droid episodes are stupid, but you can just skip them and go to another one.
Around,
and, you can skip around seasons too. Yeah. Like, it's not completely anthological.
Anthology series?
I don't know what I'm talking about, but Ahsoka's in that, and she's the one with the cool hat, or with the worm head, or whatever you want to call it.
Whatever Michael said.
The little tails. And she's like, let she's you. Anakin's apprentice, for those of you who don't know, who's Darth Vader. So like, that's a cool, that's just a cool development of the character. Like, we didn't know Anakin had a Padawan before this series came out, and you're like, okay, this makes it. Now we're developing the world more, and you're developing the characters more, and it gives them more depth. Yeah.
And explains a lot more about Anakin.
Yeah. And it makes his fall from grace so much sadder.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah. So obviously, if you couldn't tell, I'm a huge Clone Wars but no, I'm really excited about Ahsoka because, like, I grew up with that character. Like, I was her age when the show started. So I kind of have, like, this weird attachment, you know, as she progressed, like, I was progressing.
Yeah.
But in terms of the live action series, like, did you read the announcement on StarWars.com?
I don't think so, no.
As far as we know, it's a limited series, so it's only going to be 12 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Which is fine, by the way. You don't really need more than that.
Yeah, you don't need more than that. And Dave Filoni is at the helm, which, yay, I'm so happy about. And Jon Favreau is also working on it.
Those guys single-handedly have made Star Wars better. So if you guys don't know, Jon Favreau, by the way, everyone knows who Jon Favreau is. If you don't, read a book, you idiots. But he's a major Star Wars geek and has helped reignite this. Dave Filoni, also major Star Wars dork, who was like George Lucas's protege or whatever, like kind of took over the realms after George Lucas peaced out and took a couple billion from Disney. But he's actually fixed it. Like, if I wish Dave Filoni, I don't know if he was involved at all with the sequels, but I wish he would have been, because I think he would have helped it. And it's so dorky to talk about, but like, I actually was, after seeing like The Force Awakens and Last Jedi or whatever, I was just so bummed, because I'm like, you just ruined one of my favorite like series as a kid, which was Star Wars. And call me a dork for that, whatever, but it was a bummer. And I think Mandalorian and like these new shows, that's why I think these shows are so important. They're going to help kind of fix it and bring it back, because these two guys who are total Star Wars dorks want to stay true to what the essence of Star Wars is. I think they're going to make it a lot better, which is why this thing is so significant. That's why, like, you and I are talking about this right now. It's like, this Obi-Wan show is going to be dope. The Ahsoka show is going to be dope. The Bad Batch show is going to be dope. What's the other one they're making?
Andor?
No. Oh, I don't know. That one will be cool too. I mean, I don't know. To me, they might have gone a little overboard with all these shows they're doing. I mean, 10 is a lot.
Just a bit. That's a lot. That's a lot. I'm a little, I got to be honest, I'm overwhelmed, because the only things that I saw, Matt, were Bad Batch, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan with Hayden Christensen. I was like, okay, that's it. That's all I need. I don't care about it. I was like, I don't need it.
I know, but like,
that's fine.
But like, that's why I'm nervous, is I'm like, they might spread themselves too thin. You know what I mean? And like,
I think it really depends on the writers and who's involved with the show, because so far, anything that Dave Filoni has worked on has been good. Like, he has not done anything that
he's not working on all of them,
mucked up.
Is he?
No, he's not. He's not. And that's where I'm like treading water very carefully, is like, with him at the Ahsoka show, I have hope that it's going to be good. I'm still a little nervous, because it's like, okay, Rosario Dawson was only in one episode of Mandalorian, so that's kind of like a taste of her performance, but it's not like the whole deal, so I'm nervous about that.
Do you think she'll be in this last episode next week?
No, because I think if you use her too much, it doesn't become about Mando and
No, I know, but it's the Rogan. it's the last episode though, so she might make an appearance.
I've heard
like, maybe she comes and helps. Maybe she comes and helps, because she knows a little cheapy Mookie is in danger.
He just hollow calls her, and he's like, hey, Ahsoka, I know we just talked, but I literally lost the kid a day ago.
I screwed up. Sorry.
I screwed up. Can you kind of help me get him back? But no, I think I don't really care so much about anything else that's going on with Star Wars other than those three shows. I have faith that they're going to be good, but I don't think all of them will be good. Like, yeah. I don't really see the point. I don't see the point of like a Lando show.
Yeah, like, me neither. Who's going to play Lando? It's not going to be, what's that guy's name? Childish Gambino. What's his name?
Donald Glover.
Yeah. Donald Glover, not Glover. He's not Grover from the
Glover,
Muppets.
Glover. Sorry.
Donald Grover. No, I don't think who's going to even play him? I could do without that. I don't really give a shit about Lando. But then what do you think that Taika Waititi movie is going to be?
He's a good director.
No, he is. He's awesome. But I don't like
he's
what,
really good.
What, because they didn't announce the movie he's going to be doing.
No, they didn't. And I'm
what
not.
What do you think that'll be?
Nothing related to the Skywalkers. It'll be
yeah,
an
I know, but
new
what,
topic.
So it'll be like a Rogue One where it kind of stands on its own type of thing.
I don't even think it'll be like, you know how Rogue One connected into the bigger story? It was like, oh, we lead straight into A New Hope and this is what happened because these rebels got these plans and they died. Like, I think Taika Waititi is going to go in an entirely different direction. He's going to focus on something that we've never seen before.
Could it be like a Knights of the Old Republic type of thing?
That'd be really cool. I don't think...
What if he did like a Mando movie?
Yeah, I could. I would be game for that. His episodes of Mando were really good.
Yeah, he's awesome, and he's also kind of a Star Wars dork. So he has all the incentive to do a good job.
He's got like a great sense of humor too, and comedic timing. And
yeah,
I think
he
knows exactly
funny.
Where to place
yeah.
it without it being weird. So
yeah. Yeah, he's good. I think they've all done a good job. They've gotten good directors for all these things. I think it's a great show. It's one of my favorite shows. It's very predictable, and you and I have talked about this before too. It's
what,
like
Mando?
Watching a yeah, it's like watching a video okay. game story. You know what I mean? You're like
yeah.
you go, oh, go meet this guy and then kill the bad guys, and then you go meet this person and kill the bad guys. And it's like, you know how you go meet people in video games and it's like, all right, go on this
yeah.
quest for me. And like, you're still going on a main journey. It's like Red Dead Redemption. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No,
game,
yeah.
But it's a Western game, which is Mando's a Western show, and it's
yep.
a space Western show. And that's exactly how the game goes. If you're playing in Red Dead, you're like on one main mission, but you get sidetracked. I couldn't finish the game because there's so many side missions you do, and that's exactly how Mandalorian feels. But to me,
oh, yeah.
it's fine. I don't care because it's such a such an interesting show that's really developing the Star Wars universe, and it's fun to watch. And I think they're doing it the show and the series right by like keeping you know practical special effects and stuff instead of relying on CGI and.
Mm-hmm.
All these things. So I think it kind of makes up for the fact that it's a bit predictable and whatever. And it's easy watching. And I think that's the other thing with Star Wars, just in general, why it's so popular is it's easy watching. Anyone can watch it. It kind of appeals to the lowest common denominator. It's an easy story to understand. It's a familiar story. Like you said, it's the hero's journey. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. And I think that's like, you know, the essence of what the series really is, and that's where I think the sequels kind of missed. It's like I think the storytelling
yeah.
was lazy and bad, to be honest.
So I have a great example. I was watching, I cannot remember who said it on what YouTube channel, but somebody said it best. They said the sequel trilogy is what happens when you put two kids in a sandbox and they're fighting over the toys and what characters they want to play with and where they want to have them go and what they want to have them do. And I was like, that is such an accurate statement.
It is. And you know what? I remember you and I talked about this like 2 years to it, whenever The Force Awakens came out, and you were disappointed about it and I was disappointed about it. And you were like, why didn't they do like a better, like they had all this time to prepare and think about it. Why didn't they do a better job? And I was like, Melissa, here's what you have to understand about the film industry. If you're doing a big movie like this, I have some experience in the film world. All right. I used to work at a talent agency. No big deal. So when you're doing a big movie like this, it's very hyped up, right? So you have all these people behind it, you have a massive budget. You have all these, you have directors involved, producers, you have the, you know, writers, and all these people are doing this. So whoever wrote that original script, I'm sure the original script for it, whoever wrote it, it was probably pretty good. But the problem is when you have movies like this, there's so many people involved. They're all throwing their hands into the pie, right? So they're all like, I want to do this a little bit. I want to do this. I want to do this. And you're having all these people pull it in different directions. So by the end of the last write of the script, it's just a Frankenstein monster because it's not one person's original idea. It's all these people who have collaborated on this one thing to get their two cents in. And so you're not able to get a good, like, well-rounded script because you don't have one person writing it who knows all the ins and outs of it. So it just kind of distorts it. And that's what happened with all three of them, in my opinion. You had this super hyped up thing where one person didn't have creative control. And you always got to give at least one person or two people just total creative control over it so it stays true to what it's supposed to be. And I think that's what the problem with the sequels was. And I think that's why Mandalorian's good. And I think why these other shows will be good is because you got Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau at the helm. They're the ones really controlling this. And Disney's kind of stepped back a little bit after the first season and was like, all right, that was a massive success. This is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Kids love it. Families love it. It's a great thing to watch. Like, it's not too bad. You guys do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You're doing something right. And that's why I think this season's been so much better.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because every episode of Mandalorian or like every other episode will have a different director. But you have Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau,
writing executive the producing and
characters. Yeah. They're guiding these directors, but they're saying you have to stay within these constraints. But other than that, like, go to town.
Yeah.
That's why I think it works so well.
Yeah. Well, it's all very interesting. I appreciate you taking the time. Before we go, what is the thing you're most excited for with Star Wars coming up here?
Oh my God. Honestly, I am extremely excited for the future of Star Wars animation and basically anything Dave Filoni works on. Like,
I would agree.
Star Wars animation, like Clone Wars was the thing that like fueled my love for Star Wars. And so I really want to see them push those projects a little bit more. And I think Bad Batch is really going to do that.
Yeah.
And then I hope that Dave Filoni like continues to like explore Ahsoka's journey, maybe goes back to the animation realm for a little bit, but I mean, I'm psyched, like, all around. Like, the announcements looked great. I just hope the right people are in charge.
I know. And now we just got to wait for them to come out, which is the worst part. But
yep.
You do some good art, though, too. For people who don't know, Melissa, my sister, she does some amazing art, some cool Star Wars artwork, too. You were just showing me some stickers you were doing. Where can people find you on Instagram and Twitter?
Melty Arts. So MeltyArtz, because I'm cool. on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. So I am on all of those social media.
She has a lot of followers, so go check her out. She's a great artist. And, you know, we love dorking out together with Star Wars. So I'm excited. And thanks for coming on, Melissa. And
Yep.
We'll talk soon. I'm sure I'll.
Yep.
Actually, we'll be able to watch the last episode next week together. I'll be home by Friday.
Oh, no, that's right. You will be here. That'll be great.
I'm looking forward to it. Say goodbye, say goodbye, bye, see you later. All right, so that's that. That was a fun time with her. She's a blast to talk about this stuff with. I call her after every Mandalorian episode. We talk about it because we're dorks. I told you, I'm a dork. I know I make fun of people for being dorks. I'm a dork too. Not above calling myself a dork. It's fine. Okay? But yeah, she's great. I enjoyed talking to her. That was fun. Maybe we'll do our own little like Star Wars thing. If you guys like this, we'll do like more episodes of that. But that's that for this week. That was the Star Wars episode. I probably could have gotten a little bit more into it. I didn't want to overwhelm you guys with too much too many details and too much information, because I don't know how many of you guys have. I don't even know if this is a good episode. I don't even know if you guys are interested. But I am, and that's what this episode's about. What the heck is up with Star Wars? Why is it so popular? Why do I like it? And I've hopefully explained that a little bit more. I could talk about Star Wars for a long time. I do every week with my friend Adam, pretty much. Adam, I know you're listening. Talk a lot about Star Wars, because we're dorks. Grew up with those. Adam and I, my best friend from childhood, still a good friend to this day. We saw Revenge of the Sith, I think, 3 times in theaters. So correct me if I'm wrong, Adam. But we saw it opening night, and then we saw it the next day, and then we saw it again like a week later. So I still talk about this stuff. So I want everyone else to just share the Star Wars joy. But we'll see you guys next week. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Let me know. And don't forget to leave a nice review on Apple iTunes if you can, or subscribe on Spotify, whatever you want to do. Subscriptions help. The listens help. Tell your friends if you like this. If you didn't, that's fine too. Just let me know. If you want to hear me talk about specific topics, that's great. A couple of you have already reached out to me and said you should do a whole episode on this. So I have a whole list of things I'm going to go through in the next couple weeks here, and there's a couple of them that I'm excited about. Just got to figure out. We're figuring out the formula as we go along. But this was the Star Wars episode. What the heck's up with Star Wars? We'll see you guys next week. Stay safe and healthy in these trying times. All right, bye. See you later.